Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
It is with great joy in the Holy Ghost that I welcome you to another session of partaking in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. You will not miss your portion. I say you will not miss your portion in the name of Jesus. Everything about Christ, is blessing. Is bad is a blessing. Is death a blessing? Is resurrection a blessing? And today, as we push the study further on rediscovering God's redemption agenda, our focus for today will be Pentecost is a blessing. Say to yourself, Pentecost is a blessing. Last week, we started to look at the side of Pentecost in Africa, vis-a-vis the concerns that are associated with some of the excesses we see that looks like a put-off for everything that is labeled Pentecostal. Praise the name of the Lord. But the truth of the scripture that cannot be controverted, that cannot be denied, is that God intended Pentecost for blessing, and Pentecost remained a blessing. God's answer to the problem of sin and its consequences, as I kept on emphasizing, is found in the redemption agenda. And the redemption agenda is delivered as the gospel of Christ. Are we together? And the power to deliver the gospel effectively is located inside Pentecost. Are we together, church? God's answer to the problem of sin and all its consequences is found in the redemption agenda. And the redemption agenda is delivered as the gospel of Christ. And to present the gospel effectively and make it deliver on its power of salvation. Okay? That power to do it is located inside Pentecost. Outside the Pentecost experience, the gospel is lame. The gospel is not different from telling any other story in history. Praise the name of the Lord. But the gospel is not a story in history. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, what do you need the power for? You'll find it in the B part of that same scripture. I am reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So, you need the power to do something, to be witnesses unto Christ, starting from Jerusalem, moving on to Judea, not stopping there, proceeding to Samaria, and then you keep doing it until it becomes a global phenomenon that covers the entire universe. It is here called the outermost part of the earth, the remotest part of the earth, the most hidden part of the earth. If there are any place that still exists and scientific satellites have not been able to capture as part of our universe. Okay, those places are also intended, are also covered in the syllabus of the places that the gospel must reach. And to do this, the power is required. And Pentecost delivered that power. Somebody shout hallelujah. And so, Pentecost is not an albatross. Pentecost will not be something that irritates, because Pentecost is a blessing. A blessing to the entire global community that brings the power of God that saved to our doorstep. Are we together? Pentecost brings the power of God that bringeth salvation to our easy reach. Hallelujah. So, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God designed the gospel to be generally inclusive of all men. No tribe, no tongue, no race, no gender, no social status was or is exempted. When it was designed to be inclusive of all men. Christ died for all. No race is excluded, no tongue is excluded, no gender is excluded, no social status is excluded. When Christ was here, he identified with the poor. When he died, he was buried with the rich. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, the fact that the gospel was designed and intended to be all inclusive for all men give the devil headache. Hello? Because his struggle since he started his rebellion, okay, was to share creation with God, to have a part to himself that he can lay claim to have a part to himself that he can use to compete with God. So nothing gives the devil more headache than this truth that Jesus died that all men may be saved. Jesus died that all men may escape the trap that the devil has set to get some people on his side to go to hell with him. So, since Christ came and died for all, whosoever eventually go with the devil to hell is that person's choice. Are we together? Is that person's choice. So, Jesus is God's gift of salvation to the world. So don't consider him as a Jewish nationalist or a freedom fighter. No, Jesus is not a Jewish nationalist, he's not a freedom fighter. He is the savior of the world. He is primarily my savior. I don't know about you. He's the savior of my soul. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17, gospel according to St. John chapter 3. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. So the process of executing that agenda may start with the Jews. It did not end in their enclave. Hello? The process that kickstarted the agenda, okay, on the calendar, okay, the program started with the Jews, but glory to God, it did not end in their enclave. the ultimate end receiver of the salvation that God offered through Christ is the global community. The global community is the hand receiver. In Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So the person that does not enjoy it is because that person did not believe. But once you believe, you are entitled. So faith gives us entitlement to salvation. Faith offers us qualification for salvation. Am I talking to somebody? But the scripture says, to the Jews first. I said, it may start with a Jew, but the program does not end with the Jews. Then, and also to the Greek. But it went beyond the Greek. The same Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Okay? Israel or the Jews that he started with, they stumbled. And the apostle to Paul now raised this question. Did they stumble to fall? Did they stumble to be disqualified? Did they stumble that they will no longer have a portion in it? The answer is a very big no. Are we together? So never you teach the progression of the redemption agenda as if the moment Israel missed it, they lost it forever. No, the Bible still talk about a remnant. Are we together? Many of them may reject Christ. Not all of the Jews will reject Christ. So I said then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Have they stumbled that they should be forsaken? God forbid. Have they stumbled that the death of Christ will be in vain over them? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentile for to provoke them to jealousy. Hello? And so when you see great commitment to the gospel on the side of the Gentiles, it has a prophetic purpose. Hello? So don't let anybody tell you that why are you taking this thing more seriously than those who are related by blood to Jesus. Are you with me? Because it is one of those things that the devil used to discourage African believers. Say, why are you taking this thing so serious? There's a need for you to go to the scripture. Don't forget, rediscovering God's redemption agenda. And in the package, Romans 11:11 said, they fall not to be forsaken. They fall to give the Gentiles opportunity such that the salvation that has come to the Gentile and that the Gentile have received will not provoke them to jealousy. Hallelujah. God is bringing you to that level that you will preach the gospel. Hello? In the power of the blessing of Pentecost, you will lay your hand on the sick, and a Jewish person will look at you and ask the question to himself, by what power is he doing it? And he will get to discover it is the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And it will be provoked into jealousy to say, now, if they graft, is producing this much fruit. What about me, the main branch? Am I talking to somebody? Because that is exactly what the redemption agenda is all about. There is a planting that has the Jews as the main branch. Are you with me? Then people of other nations and other tribes that are also the creation of God. Okay? They represent other branches from other three. And then they were caught, and a space was made for them on the main tree and grafted into it. Are you with me? And by the grafting, we started to produce fruit. Then it will now wake up the main branch to say, if the graft can produce this much fruit, what about me, the main branch? Am I talking to somebody? Take that illustration in that context, and you will understand that God has a purpose, okay, for giving you access to salvation by faith and releasing the power of Pentecost to you to live the life of Christ that will eventually provoke even the Jews to turn to Christ. Am I talking to somebody? So, these are the things the devil is mad about. And it's the reason the devil is all out coming up with all manners of schemes and narrative to discuss the rising wave of revival in Africa. So, the devil is not willing to allow men to be saved. The devil has always been up in arms, doing the best that he could to make the people reject the gospel. And I will show you maybe one or two ways by which he's been doing it, but he has revived it in a more serious dimension. One of them is that by making people to believe that the gospel is only an option and not the only available means of man's reconciliation back to God. Hello? I was discussing with one of my daughters recently, okay, trying to size up to what degree she understood the gospel. And I was surprised when she was sharing with me that if you are just a good person, in whatever faith you practice, you will make heaven. And only God knows how many people believe that. And peradventure, that is the reason why there is little concern for evangelism, witnessing for soul. There is little or no concern, no passion for soul again, because you have come to believe the lies of the devil that just be good and fervent and committed to whatever faith you are practicing, heaven is guaranteed. Big no. The gospel is not an option. The gospel is the only way. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one come unto the Father except by me. Hello? Acts 4:12 made us to understand that there is no any other name under heaven by which any man can be saved. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. Appreciate God that you have known the way, but it is also your responsibility to bring others to the knowledge of the way. So the devil is actively making people to believe that the gospel is only an option and not the only available means of man reconciliation back to God. And to believe that that is his strategy is the reason you see making people to come up with all forms of religion. Hallelujah. You see, the religions that exist in the past are not the only religion available. Even today, okay, new wave religions are coming up. Just for the devil to say to the people that you have options. Are we together? Then, in the most recent times, the devil has also intensified his fight against the truth about the all-inclusive character of the redemption agenda. How? By corrupting even the original. Am I talking to somebody? And so you see more of counterfeits around to the degree that you find it difficult to believe that anything related to the gospel and Pentecost can be genuine. So, this fight against the inclusiveness of the gospel, especially as we observe it today in Africa, is one of the purposes that has inspired and motivated this topic we are looking at, rediscovering God's redemption agenda. What we want to ask, why is the devil so mad? Why is the devil so angry with the gospel? Particularly on African soil. The devil is very much unhappy about, one, the historic role Africa played in the history of salvation. You know, even before the agenda, okay, come on board for implementation, the devil has positioned some people to kill it from infancy. The devil entered King Herod, okay, and King Herod made a proclamation that all children below the age of 2 should be killed, okay, to ensure that the one that has been said to be born and is going to be the savior of the world will not escape. But God made Africa a place of refuge. Are we together? And you think Africa will play such a role, disappointing the agenda of the devil, and the devil will want to be our friend? Hello? The devil has never been honest with anybody. Are you with me? But if you have played one role or the other to disappoint his ultimate agenda of frustrating God's plan, you can never be on his list of friendship. So this could explain for the reason why you see the devil is so mad, throwing all manners of darts against Africa. Then, not only that the devil is angry and unhappy about the role Africa played in the past, is also much more afraid of the prophetic role that is reserved for Africa in the final contest before the return of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as this study proceeds, because we are not stopping the nearest weeks, okay, as this study proceeds, you will see how Africa is well positioned, okay, for the preparation of the saints to receive the coming of the Lord. So, the devil continued to do everything possible to saturate the hearts of even the believers with wrong narratives that can weaken our hand from active engagement in the final battle for soul. We are now in the stage of the final battle for souls. Are we together? And so the devil is doing all manners of things that he could do, putting up all manners of schemes that he could put in place to weaken our hands. And of course, what is happening is an obvious logic. It's a logic that can be easily observed and interpreted, that whosoever wins the mind will gain the soul. Hello. That's the logic. Whoever wins the mind, whoever can persuade the mind, whoever can convince the mind, whoever can create a belief system, okay, that is appealing to the mind, we win the soul. I pray in the name of Jesus. All those philosophies that you are flirting with, all those new age theories that you are flirting with, all those ideas of covers of Christ that you are flirting with, okay, and they are beginning to become very, very interesting to your mind, I pray that all such narratives will not win your soul in the name of Jesus. Because as a man is, okay, or what a man is a result of the state of his mind. Are we together? So whoever wins the mind, we gain the soul. Is the obvious logic the devil is deploying. So the greatest warfare, as we noted in the beginning of this study, is what I call the debative war of intellect. The debative war of what? Intellect. I pray in the name of Jesus, the devil will not succeed to corrupt your belief system. In the name of Jesus, the devil will not succeed to take the truth from you and make you buy his lies. In the name of Jesus. So the logic, as I keep on saying, is simple to understand. Once your mind detests the gospel, your soul will reject the salvation it was intended to offer you. Hello? So once you allow your mind to detest, okay, to lose taste for the gospel, okay, and the gospel is called the power of God to salvation. So the gospel is not an empty shell. The gospel has a content, and the content the gospel wants to deliver to your soul is salvation. So the moment the devil succeeds to make the gospel irritating to you, then you have allowed him to make you reject the salvation that the gospel is meant to offer. So we must therefore not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. It pains my heart, okay, to take note that the people who give traditional approach to the preaching of the gospel are waking up too late to understand this dimension that we are talking about. Hello? So, I am not unaware that some people who are still living in the past, some people who are not spiritually up to date, are finding it difficult to understand why so much time, so much energy is being dedicated to this topic. But I tell you, by the time the Holy Spirit completes what he's doing with this message, and the wave is released into the global community, Isumadana. Tell somebody, Isukajagba. Because this truth will shine like light, and it will overcome all the darkness in the name of Jesus. So, if you actually have the spirit of discernment, you will take note that as it is today, the gospel is under a very serious siege in Africa. You know what it means for something to be under siege? Okay? You can understand it from what they call curfew. When there's a problem in the community, okay, and the authority, the government authority, make a proclamation that people cannot come out, people cannot do this. No, they put limitation on what you can do. And go everywhere today, you see serious limitation being put on the spread of the gospel. This limitation could be as a result of the lies you have believed in your mind that make you to cage the gospel to yourself, or it could be as a result of official proclamation. official policy, official legislation, okay, that cage the gospel. So today we are going into that direction, or we are already there, whereby the gospel is being caged, the gospel is being put under a very serious siege. We are already in the days of complete parallel to the Samaria experience due to the terror of the army of Syria. You remember somewhere in 2 Kings now, chapter 6, am I right? Yes, I guess. Samaria came under siege. People cannot go out, people cannot come out, because by trying to come out, you will fall into the hand of the army of Syria and they can kill you. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are in the days of a complete parallel of that Samaria experience due to the terror of the army of Syria. And such a day is now upon the church, but the siege will be lifted. I said the siege is being lifted in the name of Jesus. If you take note, if you have the spirit of discernment, you will take note that we are already feeding on the dung of dove inside the wall. When the siege came against Samaria, okay, the food they have available, okay, were exhausted. What happened? They resorted into feeding on the dung of doves. And today's church is feeding on dungs of doves. Perverted gospel everywhere. Hallelujah. Because the truth is under siege. In fact, we are already in the days of the abomination of destroying tomorrow just to survive today. The same thing happened in the siege against Samaria. Okay? The evil graduated from feeding on dungs of dove to the point whereby they were killing their children for food. Two women agreed by themselves. One said, "Let's eat my own child tomorrow. When the pot of soup is finished, then we take on your own and cook it." They were killing tomorrow to survive today. If you have discernment, you will discover that today's church is killing tomorrow to survive today. Am I talking to somebody? You see, what is called persecution, and his twin brother called perversion, perversion of the truth, both of them are enemies of the gospel. Hello? And so Syria came like persecution that put Samaria under siege. Okay. But when they had no more food to eat, they resorted to eating dungs of dove. So, in the same way, in the same parallel, perversion is doing more damage than we are ready to admit in the church today. It's an obvious truth. Hello? The damage that perversion, eating of dungs, okay, call the gospel. Perversion call the gospel. Half truth, plenty lies, call the gospel that we are being fed with today in the church. Okay? It's doing more damage to the gospel. It's doing more damage to our faith than we are ready to admit. But as this light is passing across, the hand will come to that evil in the name of Jesus. Now, in the same parallel, something happened. The king was helpless. His chiefs were helpless. Okay? The powerful army of Israel were helpless, but there were four lepers that had an idea of what to do. Am I talking to somebody? And so I speak no longer by discernment now. I speak by the grace of prophecy that God will not hesitate to bring good tidings back to the church through the lepers. Hello? So if we look at the official quarters, okay, of reputable names in the church space, we may not find the answer. Hello? But you that is not considered to be relevant on the pulpit, God may put the answer in your hand. And so when the Spirit of grace come upon you, okay, don't hesitate to do the needful. Am I talking to somebody? Why? Because I see that climate, I see that situation whereby God will not hesitate to bring good tidings to end this era of eating dove dung. Eating dove dung in the church. Okay? God will not hesitate to bring an end to it. And how will he do it? Okay? He will bring good tidings of good food. Correct gospel. Okay? Through the lepers. So God will not allow the people to come to feed on the dungs of dove. He will not allow the abomination of killing the youth to continue. Just like those women were killing their tomorrow to survive the contemporary problem, the same thing is happening today in the church. But God will not allow that abomination to continue. Because to me, what do you call some of these messages that are encouraging Yahoo Yahoo? You must have come across some of those things. But this one thing I know, whenever the king cannot provide bread and the people are eating dunks, okay, God will lay his hand on lepers in spite of their uncleanness. He will make them to serve the right meal. Am I talking to somebody? So it is because the kings, his thieves, cannot provide bread is the reason the people resorted to eating dungs of dove. So those of us who have the light of what the gospel is, those of us who have the light, okay, of what Christianity truly represents, we should no longer hold the bread. Because by holding the bread, we are forcing the people to patronize dung dove. And don't forget that the gospel is free, but people are paying, okay, to buy the dung dove. Go and read that scripture again. You will discover that even the dung dove, they were not getting it for free. In Mielati one day, ni Samaria one rani. The same thing, the dung doves that we are being fed with today, everywhere in the name of gospel, perverted messages, people are still paying heavily for it. Paying for their destiny damage. Paying for their eternal damage. But I come as an apostolic voice, speaking prophetically, that the time has come, the season is now, when what title chiefs, including the army and the king of Israel, could not do, the lepers will do. Clean grains will become abundant again in the church. I say clean grains will become abundant again in the church. So, to therefore understand the depths of this message and the body that I carry to preach this message, this is this ninth session now. The traditional religious mindset must be discarded. Hello? The traditional religious mindset must be what? Discarded. It is good you know that immorality is a weapon in the hand of the devil to destroy the world. But you will be surprised if God will open your eyes to also discover that the philosophy that will promote immorality will partly, if not majorly, draw inspiration from the gospel perversion that is going on today in the church. Hello. Is it not that too bad? Okay? That the devil intended that immorality will destroy the world. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed or were destroyed if they were twin cities. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, today, the devil is all out again to destroy the world with immorality. Okay? And the world themselves, they are afraid to go into immorality openly. But the church that should serve as a bridge, okay, to eternity with God is now serving as a bridge, okay, for the people of the world to embrace immorality. So it's unfortunate that some of the preachings of the church today, okay, is making the people of the world to draw inspiration to be bold about immorality. So many wrong narratives are becoming very popular. Today, it's either they are saying Yahoo Yahoo, okay? Will not stop you from making evil. Tomorrow they are saying you can drink, you can smoke, you can jazz from the pulpit. And there's no any mechanism to stop them. But the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend. This truth will receive global acceptance. It will stop this wave of evil in the name of Jesus. So, as an antidote, making the gospel appealing to the mind is part of the major reason God has placed Bible teachers in the body of Christ. Hello? Are you with me? So, I said this part of the strategy of the devil is to make your mind detest the gospel so that he can deny you salvation. Are you with me? And that whosoever wins the mind gains the soul. So, what do you now do as an antidote? Make the gospel also appealing to the mind. Make the gospel persuasive. Hello? The gospel is to be believed, but also make it easy for people to believe it. Don't just throw it at people, okay? Break it down for people to be able to digest it. And I said, as an antidote to stopping the devil from succeeding in his agenda to hinder people from embracing the gospel is to make the gospel appealing to the mind. And that is one of the major reasons God has placed Bible teachers in the body of Christ. So the teaching ministry is to unravel mysteries. The teaching ministry is to end confusion. The teaching ministry is to provide protection for the truth. The teaching ministry is to unravel mysteries. The teaching ministry is to do what again? End confusion. And the teaching ministry is to provide protection for the truth. So, I welcome you to another session of unraveling the mysteries of the kingdom. it looks like the foundation is becoming taller than the main building. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we are yet to enter the very meal we want to eat today. Should we stop it here or drive it for another 15 minutes? Are we together? Can we drive it for another 15 minutes? So last week, we ventured to look at a major concern about the practice of Christianity in Africa. This and this, the excesses associated with the thick Pentecostal texture and the rich Pentecostal flavor of the practice of Christianity in Africa. Then, the last two studies have been dedicated to the fact that the prominent Pentecostal approach to the gospel in Africa is both historic and apostolic. Don't forget, the focus for today is Pentecost is a blessing. So in that case, it is very possible to structure our Pentecostal approach to the faith through the right biblical teaching, so that we will remain apostolic and consistent with the doctrine of Christ. Hello. So you don't get offended at Pentecost, because Pentecost is a blessing. Are we together? But the necessity is placed on us, teachers, apostles, prophets, or by whatever calling we have in the gospel space, to structure our Pentecostal approach to the gospel through what I call right biblical teaching. Because it is important that whatever we do must not deviate from the foundation of the prophet and the apostles. Are we together? So we must remain apostolic. We must remain consistent with the doctrine of Christ. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finishers of our faith, such that when we look through the prophets, when we look through the apostles, which are considered the foundation, the reflection we see is Christ. So, and anything that will not reveal Christ will be rejected. Anything that will not reveal Christ should be what? Rejected. We took a big lesson from the Antioch church. The Antioch church had an active prophetic ministry, likewise an effective teaching ministry to guide their evangelical activities. Three things have come up there. One, prophetic ministry. Two, teaching ministry. Three, evangelical activity. So the Antioch church, I consider it a model church, because the active prophetic ministry and the effective teaching ministry were made available to guide their evangelical activity. Act 13. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, now verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, as they gathered to worship and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now, the Holy Ghost saying there means the prophetic ministry came up to function. Are we together? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the war whereunto I have called them. So there were prophets among them, there were teachers among them, who were providing guidance for their evangelical activities. Hello. So an evangelist cannot just jump up and say, God asked me to ask people to be walking on their head and turn their legs upside down. Okay, the teachers will say, let's check the scripture. Is it so in the scripture? Are we together? So that in that church, whenever Jesus come up, the apostles were regularly consulted by their pastors. And so, they had an issue in Acts 15. Are you with me? Now, the prophets were there, the teachers were there, but the senior apostles, who are the foundational apostles, they were in another city. They now appointed their pastors and said, you pastors, okay, you go and consult the apostles. Let them tell us how to handle this issue. Acts 15, 1 and 2. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And the elders deliberated and they said, this is right, this is not right. Praise the name of the Lord. So, if we want to put it simply, in the contemporary world, the Antioch church had all the ministry offices in their rightful place to stay balanced. You know, there are fivefold ministry offices: the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, the office of the evangelist, the office of the teacher, okay? And what? Answer me, church. The office of the pastor. Praise the name of the Lord. So, the Antioch church had all these various ministry offices in their rightful place to stay balanced. But what we have today are churches built on one man's gift. Hello? Churches built on what? And the only thing that operates in that church is that one man's gift. No room is created to accommodate other people's gifts. So what was provided or obtainable in the Antioch church provide a model for us to stay biblically balanced. So that was why we studied and we established it last week, that whereas the Antioch church was a vibrant charismatic assembly, they were also seekers of the truth. And they did that, as we find in chapter 15 of Acts of Apostles, to maintain doctrinal balance. So they had both prophets and teachers, not one without the other. Hello? Not one without the other. And the one they don't have in their immediate assembly, okay, they search for it elsewhere. Are you with me? Okay. I have had pastors boast and say, since I have been preaching, okay, I have never make effort to listen to what any other person is preaching. I only listen to the Holy Spirit. Oh, you may look sanctimonious, okay, but it is a kind of stupidity that may make you to walk in error. Hello? So let's take lessons for today's church on balancing of ministry gift in the body, and then we'll close. The numerical growth of the church is very important, and that growth rests majorly on the ministry of the evangelists and the apostles. So I put the evangelists and the apostles together and I call them the going out to bring in ministries. Hello. Now, another reason, okay, I am bringing us to this dimension is to also wake you up to understand what place you occupy, and you should begin from now to play your part. So, the numerical growth of the church rests majorly on the ministry of the evangelists and the apostles. And I bring the two of them together and I classify them as the going out to bring in ministries. You go out there, okay, to bring in people to the kingdom. Then the spiritual health of the church rests more heavily on the ministry of the prophet and the teachers. I put the apostle and the evangelist together as the going out to bring in ministries. And then we have the prophet and the teacher, okay, on whose shoulder rests the head of the church, the spiritual head of the church. I call them the shelter ministry and or sending ministries. The shelter and the send. They provide protection, not only for the doctrine, they also provide it for the people. And they also send the people. Acts 13:1 make us to realize that it was teachers and the prophet that were praying, and God said to them, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas." Then the pastor has an overlapping ministry that makes him responsible for both the spiritual growth and the spiritual health of the church. Hello. Numerical growth of the church rests more. I didn't say absolutely. Hello. I didn't say if you are a prophet, don't be evangelical. I didn't say if you are a teacher, don't be evangelical. Are we together? I didn't say if you are a pastor, okay, don't do crusade. Don't witness. Don't do evangelism. In fact, Apostle Paul told Timothy, who was a bishop, a pastor, he said, do the work of evangelists. Are we together? Okay. But then, this responsibility rests on the different classes of minister in different degree. So, going out to bring in rests more on the apostles and the evangelists. So, this numerical growth. Now, the church should not just be about growth and you are sick. Today, we have big churches that are sick churches. Hello? Mega assemblies full of sick members. You know, you can be growing and you are sickly. Hello? Even biological growth. There are sicknesses, not all sicknesses make you stunted. So the church, as it is going, must be healthy. So the health of the church, spiritual health of the church, rests more on the prophet and the teachers. The prophet will spot the problem. The prophet will do the x-ray and locate where the problem is. Okay? The teacher will bring the word of God as medicine to cure the sickness. That's how it operates. That's why I said these two, okay, stand in the office of overseeing the spiritual health of the church. But the pastor, I said, he has an overlapping ministry that makes him responsible for both the spiritual growth and the spiritual health of the church. So I classify his office as the nursing ministry. So the pastor is the nurse of the church. T Think about nursing medically. Think about nursing agriculturally. Okay? The pastor has these two combined in his ministry. You know what it means to nurse medically? You know what it means to nurse agriculturally? Praise the name of the Lord. So, from a critical and practical analysis of the fivefold ministry offices, you will notice that the duo of the teaching and the prophetic ministry appear to be most delicate because of their implication on the spiritual health status of the church. The teaching ministry, the prophetic ministry appear to be the most delicate because of their implication on the spiritual health status of the church. And the much mess we are having today in the body of Christ is at an alarming rate because we are not getting it right in the prophetic and in the teaching ministry. So it is for this reason you will notice that the Bible spoke emphatically and spoke repeatedly in very clear terms about false prophets, false apostles, and false teachers. Okay? Go and read the epistles. Go and read the gospel. You will hear clear mention of false prophets, false teachers, and false apostles. You hardly can find the term false applied directly to evangelists. Hello? To the degree that Apostle Paul mentioned somewhere, he said, even those that are preaching the gospel with ill will, he said, let them preach it so long they are bringing people to the kingdom. So you hardly can find the word false applied directly to evangelists. That does not mean they don't exist. But to become a false evangelist, you must, or a false pastor, you must cross the line to prophecy. You must cross the line to teach. Hello? Or you transgress to set apostolic standard. So there is a need for us to therefore look at what we are not doing correctly in the teaching ministry, what we are not doing correctly in the apostolic ministry, what we are not doing correctly in the prophetic ministry. Because even the wrong evangelist, the wrong pastor, he will be one if one, he crossed the line to prophesy. If he crossed the line to teach, or he transgressed to set apostolic standard. Am I talking to somebody? So if we know this and structure our inter-ministry relationship correctly, even though the excesses that are wrapped up today may not be completely eliminated, it will be significantly minimized. As I close, here is my apostolic advice. We should all rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We should all rise up in passion for soul. We should all rise up in passion for holiness and do our best to stop those who are making the church popular for the wrong reason. Bow your head and ask the Lord. Are you promoting perversion or you are buying perversion? If you are one of those that's itching ears for perversion, if you are one of those that have developed, okay, high taste for hitting of dung doves, ask God to work on your orientation. Ask God to change you. Or you stand in any of the ministry offices manufacturing perversion, encouraging the siege that the devil has placed on the church to continue. Ask God to help you. Ask God to change you. Thank you, Jehovah God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Everlasting Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We know what the devil is up to. Make the people detest the gospel in order to deny them salvation and draw them with him to hellfire. But I ask, over all these destinies that are here present, and anyone hearing me anytime, now and in the future, make us to walk in the awareness of the agenda of Satan and position ourselves with the truth to escape. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy, for answer prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 08035685882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.